This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello, everyone. This is not Bob Pompiani. It's Austin Vexel alongside at Oakmont Bakery. Bob will join the show in half an hour as he is at Oakmont Country Club for the 125th U.S. Open. Day three today of the U.S. Open taking place. We're going to check in with Jeff Hathorn in just a couple of minutes, but we're going to get into a lot. We're going to talk to Jeff twice. Jeff in just a matter of moments, and Jeff will also join at 12:25. Bob will join the show at 11:30. We'll talk a lot of U.S. Open. We will talk about the Steelers at OTAs and at mandatory minicamp, I should say, and Aaron Rodgers reporting. T.J. Watt not there. What do you make of it? What do you make of the position coaches? Zach Asani coming out and saying, yeah, Calvin Austin's our wide receiver too. And Carl Dunbar, yeah. Derek Harmon starting on the defensive line. I don't think those are surprises to anyone, but hearing coaches coming out and saying it, and Mike Tomlin not exactly happy when the distinction of starter was placed on Derek Harmon, especially as a rookie, and that can kind of be a factor, I think, for, you know, Tomlin, that historically they don't like playing rookies very early. They want them to earn it, don't want rookies to immediately plugged into the fire and be anointed as starters, but we'll discuss that. I have a take on the Penguins with Dan Muse and what could happen with ownership that I think is just hugely significant. And we can also get into Buccos if you want at 412-928-9370. But first, Jeff Hathorn is at the media tent at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Jeff, I have been completely bought in to this U.S. Open this year, maybe because it's just in our backyard. But what has just been so surprising to me, and maybe I should have fully expected this, but Jeff, the list of players that missed the cut, like significant players, we're talking about JT, we're talking about DeChambeau, we're talking about Shane Lowry not having a good round. Phil Mickelson was close to the cut, he ended up missing. Rory barely makes the cut. What's your main takeaway so far through 2 days?
Well, first off, you should have started the show and dug really deep and said, hello, Pittsburgh.
Bob. Hey, everyone, it's Bob Pompiani. I'm out here at Oakmont. We have the country club going on right now. It's Oakmont Bakery, delicious donuts, where we create delicious memories.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a couple of names. I mean, Ludwig Oberg is one of the best young players in the game. A lot of people thought this could be an opportunity for him to really make a statement. He's home for the weekend. Phil, not everybody's surprised about, but that could have been his last Open, and he doubled two of the last three holes,
or he
would have been here for the weekend. And then my favorite to win, and many others, Bryson DeChambeau.
That was my pick.
I mean, Austin, yesterday, he had six pars in 18 holes. That's crazy.
And I followed Bryson for a large part of yesterday. I saw him on 13. I saw him on 14. I saw the end of his shot on 12. He birdied 12, ended up parring 13. He ended up bogeying 14. And it was just all downhill from there to steal a line from Crowley. Like, once he got to the front nine, because he started on the back nine, the front nine has been easier for players. It looked like it was harder for DeChambeau yesterday.
So the front nine this tournament has been tougher than the back.
Okay, I got that.
But I think Bryson – no. But I will say this. I think Bryson and we were just at a news conference. I mean, imagine I'm sitting there feet from Jack Nicklaus and Johnny Miller.
Like, what was that
it
like?
Was surreal. It's just surreal. But Johnny, they'd asked him something about Oakmont. And he's like, well, Jack was one of the first that had a one iron or would hit a 3-wood off the tee, realizing that you didn't always have to hit driver. And then he said, if DeChambeau would have realized that, he wouldn't be sitting in his house. And I was like, that's Johnny Miller right there.
That's a
boom.
Lot.
But it's true. It's true. With some of these guys' length, they got themselves in the rough. I mean, how many times did you watch in the times you followed Bryson where he was having to muscle out of the rough? I mean, he had a shot I watched on 18. It looked like he was out of a field, and he hit it to within 10 feet. Now, missed the putt, and that was I think, his other big issue was his putting was just not good enough. And if your putting is not on out here, it'll expose you.
Is it bad for the tournament, Jeff, that the names at the very top of the leaderboard right now are not household names? It's not Rory. It's not Schauffele. It's not Scottie Scheffler, who at this point has a lot of work to do to crack that top five even?
Yes and no. If you casually look at it, yes. But if you start to look at it and realize Burns is a nice young player, Hovland's a 20-something that has the game to win multiple majors. Ben Griffin gave up the game, went into, like, personal finance, and one of the dudes he was working with said, no, I'll sponsor you. You need to get back out there and try it again.
Pretty cool.
And he's won twice on tour this year, and he's three shots off the lead. I mean, Victor Perez with the hole-in-one. Then Brooks Koepka kind of had that swagger back, and he's just five shots back. It's five shots, but he's only in eighth place. So there's only a few people he would have to jump. I think there are still some really good storylines and some really interesting pairings today. I mean, here you go. There's an opportunity for Scottie Scheffler about 2 hours before the leaders tee off to go out and start to make some noise. And that's some of the things the greats do. Like, if they're not playing well, they go out, they start to make some noise. You could feel it at the place, and then every golfer will handle it its own way. But other than Adam Scott, you don't have a lot of – and Koepka, you don't have a ton of experience within the top 10.
Lastly, Jeff, before we talk to you in about an hour, what are the conditions like with the rain? How much of a factor has that been? It looks like it's drying up maybe a little bit. Doesn't seem like it's really raining, at least outside the windows of Oakmont Bakery. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, they do a very good job of draining out here, and they have some systems in place to be able to drain. I will warn anybody that's coming out. There are some areas where you may not be able to cross fairways because of the wetness. So just be prepared that you may have there's going to be some mud. There may be some areas that is either limited or off limits to you. So just know it may not be the same experience if you were out here yesterday than it will be today. That being said, the course is in great shape, and that's the huge question of the day. How is the rain going to change the scoring that we've seen so far at the U.S. Open? And I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Typically, we go with no limits, Jeff, but there will be some limitations that are in place here today, and I appreciate it. And
well played.
We will talk to you in just about an hour. Jeff, thank you. So day three of the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Where do we stand? Who missed the cut? I think the biggest news is really everyone that missed the cut. And Bob put out a good list. We're going to talk to Bob in about 20 minutes of some of the names. And Jeff also touched on it. Like, Oberg doesn't make the cut 8 over. Patrick Cantlay doesn't make the cut at 8 over. We talked about Phil Mickelson. Bryson DeChambeau, who I think is a really polarizing figure. Like, he's really changed his image in the last 2 to 3 years whether it be the social media that he does, the Break 50 series that he does with a lot of celebrities and other athletes, whether it's YouTube content, TikTok content, Instagram. Bryson DeChambeau has become a very likable figure. He has become a figure who has helped to, I think, grow the game. And just following him around yesterday, there was the Scotty group, and there was the DeChambeau group. And there were a lot for Rory as well, but those were basically the main two that were getting the largest following. Who are you following on the course? Asking people, or just judging based on movements of people and the large crowds that were crossing across the fairways. Yeah, it was for those two guys, and both struggling. Like, there was a point in time where there was a realistic possibility that Scottie Scheffler could have missed the cut. He could have joined the list of some of these guys, like Gary Woodland at 10 over. That's somebody that Bob talked about as an opportunity to win it. And maybe this is just the Pomp and Joe show curse. Joe and I both picked Bryson DeChambeau to win it. That did not happen. DeChambeau with just a clunker of a performance, who won the U.S. Open last year. DeChambeau finishes 10 over, does not make the cut. Bob picked Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood, 9 over, does not make the cut. Justin Thomas, 12 over, doesn't make the cut. Justin Rose, 14 over. Shane Lowry, you might have seen the clip. Some choice words, we'll put it that way, for the greens at Oakmont after he missed a couple of putts. Lowry, just an overall tough performance. I want to know from you at 412-928-9370. Are you still very, like, if you're going to the tournament, I get it, it's very exciting, it's going to be very fun. I'm going tomorrow. I'll be hanging out with Crowley and a couple others. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I do think that there's a little bit of steam that's taken away from it because the likes of DeChambeau, Lowry, Thomas, some of the guys that have been the most successful in golf, Fleetwood, you could even put there, Phil Mickelson. Could you imagine if Mickelson was like right around even par right now? We'd be talking, oh, could Phil make a push? Scheffler is not out of it by any regard. He's the best golfer in the world, but he's got a huge hill to climb. Same thing with Rory. Like, are you discouraged that the top of the leaderboard right now is guys that, you know, you might have heard of, but you really don't know much about? Is that a thing for you at 412-928-9370? Is that something that when you're watching or you're going to consume the U.S. Open this weekend, or maybe you already have, maybe you've already been there. Sam Burns, 3 under. He is the world rank of 22nd. J.J. Spahn, 25. He's 2 under. Victor Hovland is 1 under. I saw Pony predicted Hovland to be the winner, and that you can bookmark the tweet just in case he doesn't win. Ben Griffin, currently even par with Adam Scott. They are currently tied for 4th place. There are three golfers that are currently under par. Burns at 3 under, Spahn at 2 under, Hovland at 1 under from Oakmont. And the crazy thing about that is, I mean, think about Spahn. He had a bogeyless free 18 holes on Thursday in the first round of the tournament. Just an absolutely flawless day to start 4 under and to be able to lead this thing off in a good direction. Could Brooks Koepka at 2 over, tied for 8th place right now, be able to make a run? I know Malzi was talking him up earlier today as a possible candidate for that. I mean, he's, what, 5 shots off the lead? Jason Day at 3 over? The real thing is, like, where's the cutoff line? Is it where Scheffler is at 4 over? Like, I don't think that, you know, Jordan Spieth at 5 over has much of a chance at this point, or Shoffley at 6 over can really get there, or, you know, what is Jordan Spieth's opportunity to be able to try to break through and win this tournament? Because Spieth, as a younger player, obviously know how successful that he was, but Spieth looking to get back to winning a major. 412-928-9370. Spieth at 5 over. And Rory McIlroy, 6 over par. World rank number 2, right behind Scottie Scheffler, the winner of Masters. What does he have up his sleeve so far in the 3rd round? He has parred the first 2 holes. And, you know, I've thoroughly enjoy the tournament. If you are going there, you can stop by here at Oakmont Bakery and say hello. We were here until 1 o'clock here on the Bob Pompiani Show, with Bob Pompiani joining his own show in 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. Probably walked about 6 miles yesterday consuming the course, but it really is a surreal experience. Like, if you have an opportunity to come out, and I think tickets are all sold out, you might have to buy some on the secondary market for whether it be today or for tomorrow. It's definitely worth the experience and worth the opportunity to come out and see it. And it's a lot of fun and really enjoyable, but right now, the way that Spahn is playing, I think that he's got to be maybe not the favorite, but him and Burns have to be the two that you keep your eyes on and say, well, I mean, it's theirs to lose. Like, if Brooks Koepka can make a good run, he's got a significant shot. You know, former winner, put up 4 birdies on the back nine, 3 birdies on the back nine, but also 2 bogeys on the back nine, finished 35 in, 39 out in the second, in the first nine, I'm sorry. On the front nine, he shot a 39, and that contributed to the score that he had. Ended up just with a 35 on the back nine as well on the 70 course. So those are the names that I'm keeping an eye on, of the guys that are currently either even, being Ben Griffin, or under par with Koepka, Day, still thinking Spieth, potentially, probably too far gone to be able to come back. And I mean, unless he has a miraculous day, unless he shoots like a 65, which is possible, we saw yesterday, and Scheffler at 4 over. 412-928-9370, if you'd like to chime in. We'll talk to Bob Pompiani coming up next. It is the Bob Pompiani Show. Austin Bechtold filling in for Bob from the Oakmont Bakery. You can stop down and say hello to us. We are here until 1 o'clock, and we're taking your thoughts at 412-928-9370 if you would like to chime in as well. Ty Polk has a headline, and we're back on the Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
And Bob Pompiani will join us in just a matter of moments. It's Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits, with you until 1 o'clock from Oakmont Bakery. Come down and say hello. I've had an opportunity to talk to a couple people so far today. It's been pretty cool. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 412-928-9370. Let's hear from you before we talk to Bob. And let's begin with Andrew in Baldwin. What's going on?
What's going on, City Limits?
What's going on? What's going on, Andrew?
I just wanted to talk about the golf take we had earlier. I actually honestly don't agree with it. I think seeing guys that Hovland, who were on the top of their game a couple years and he kind of lost his way a little bit, seeing him in contention, and along with Sam Burns, who has won events in the past, seeing guys like that and not the stars, you know, like the DeChambeaus, the Scheffler's being the mix, it's kind of a nice refreshing taste. And it's kind of an attestment to Oakmont and how tough it is.
Will you be attending this weekend?
I'm on my way right now, actually. I'm driving right now.
You should stop at Oakmont Bakery and say hello then, Andrew.
Believe it or not, my location is set for Oakmont Bakery at the moment.
There we go. Happy to hear. We'll be excited to say hello to you. What is the one thing that you are most looking forward to today?
Honestly, just kind of taking in the scenes of an event that truly only happens over 8 years, and it's just, you know, how often do you get a major sporting event in golf in Pittsburgh? It's very, very rare, and I think to kind of just take in the scenes and the beauty that is Oakmont, I think that's going to be something I've been always looking forward to.
Yeah, it won't be back for, what, I think another 9 years, and then ultimately...
Eight years.
So, I mean, savor it, man. Enjoy it. It's going to be fun. It was pretty fun yesterday, and I'll be up there tomorrow. So, who's your pick? Who's your pick right now?
My pick is Victor Hovland.
So you're going Hovland.
I was watching yesterday, and you know he looked really good, minus some minor mistakes, and where he made double, he could have been. He's right in the mix. If he plays like he did yesterday and clears up some mistakes, I think he could be in for a really big run today. Because I don't know if Spahn's going to be able to hold on. I like his odds.
Yeah, you got a good point there with Hovland, and I appreciate the call. Good talking to you. We'll see you at Oakmont Bakery coming up very soon with Sam Burns currently in the lead at 3 over. He will tee off at 3:35. Burns and Spahn, final pairing at 3:35. Hovland and Adam Scott will tee off at 3:24. Ben Griffin, who is currently tied for fourth, is currently going to be paired in, again, one of those later groups, as he is tied right now with Victor Perez, and they will tee off in the 3:13 group. Joe in Heidelberg is on the fan. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, what's up, City Limits? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon to you, too.
I think this is, first of all, what a great showcase for Pittsburgh and what a beautiful golf course, but I think that the rain last night is going to play more into these next two rounds than anybody's really talking about. I've only had the ability to play Oakmont twice in my life. And
congratulations on all your success.
I know, right? and it the course is very different when it's wet versus dry, and I think that it's going to make for a great next 2 days on some of the players that weren't playing that well are going to be able to kind of steam back a little bit. But like the last caller, I think Victor Hovland is the favorite as far as I'm concerned.
What are some of those big changes with the course that happened due to the conditions that at least you have noticed?
In all honesty, it's just the greens. Like, the greens are rolled so tight and they're so hard, but as soon as it rains on them, they get soft and spongy and the ball slows down. So if you've already, like, the way I look at it is, because I've never had the ability to play it, like, day after day with different conditions, but the way that I look at it is these guys yesterday had to hit the ball a lot harder than they're going to have to today, and it's just basically going to make it like a different golf course.
Appreciate the call. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Van Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The man whose name is on the title for the show, the Bob Pompiani Show, is now on the phone to say hello from Oakmont. Bob, how are you? I was there yesterday and I did not see you, and I was very surprised that I did not.
Well, you know, Austin, there's 40,000 people up here. If you're walking around, there's a good chance you're going to miss people.
I was told that you weren't there at all, Bob, that you were off.
No, just because I'm off doesn't mean I was off from doing my thing. But listen, I've been up there all week, and I can tell you that as much as I want to say that the USGA has made it overly difficult. I think their goal here is to do just that. They're trying to identify the guy who is pinpoint accurate off the tee, really good about hitting fairways and greens, and making the least amount of putts. And if that means there's going to be some carnage along the way, then so be it. You have to fight through it. A lot of these guys are going to whine about this. I'm sure I saw what Shane Lowry said the other day after he missed a putt from about 3 feet. You know, I mean, you can get mad at yourself. You finished plus 17. How about hit the fairway a little bit? If you do it, you should be rewarded. If you don't, you're going to be penalized.
Just basically as simple as that. Hit the fairway. As long as you hit. I saw Malzi put out something. It was a poll. Would you rather hit every fairway or would you rather two-putt every hole? What would you take in that situation?
I would rather. Well, I think one needs the other.
It's a difficult question.
If you don't, you know, putting is the key. I mean, to being, if you get on the greens, and that's what J.J. Spahn did well for the first, really, 27 holes of his tournament so far. He didn't miss greens. He put it on, and he didn't three-putt. In fact, he had several one-putts. That's what it takes, and that's what they're looking to identify, someone who can withstand those conditions. I guess the answer would be I'll take the putts. I would assume I'd stay out of a lot of the heavy rough, but some people will complain that the USGA is hijacked what is a very golf great golf course. You don't need to have the rough that high. I guess those who have that opinion, they'll say, what's wrong with 3.5 inches, not 5.5 inches? And there's a point to be made because it slows down play. One of the things I did not like about the first two rounds, Austin, was that it was over six hours each.
Yep.
Some of these guys waited an hour 20 minutes to play two holes. I mean, that's insane.
It's insane.
And USGA needs to figure out a way to not have that happen.
Well, how do you speed it up? You know, you can't put a pitch clock on it. It's not like baseball.
The conditions dictate that. No, but what I think is when you have these kinds of conditions, it takes extra shots, time, effort, and then everything gets backlogged. You know, if you hit three shots in the rough that go a total of 10 feet, you're going to take about 8 minutes to do that, and it just throws everything off of kilter. So, you know, my point is I think sometimes it's too penal, even though I just said they're trying to identify the guy who stays out of the most trouble. But you can really slow it down, and the USGA is promoting fast play. This is not the way to do that.
All of our picks, Bob, so you picked Tommy Fleetwood, and Bob and Joe, well, yeah, gone, didn't make the cut. And Joe and I both picked Bryson DeChambeau, who went 10 over. What do you make of Fleetwood and DeChambeau's week that was? I was stunned. DeChambeau, the reigning champ, two-time U.S. Open winner, he put up a 77 yesterday, Bob.
Well, look at Rory McIlroy, who's, you know, kind of messed up right now. I think he's got some issues. That's one of the reasons why I didn't think he'd make the cut. That was my little prediction there, but he did make the cut. But he's got a lot on his mind. He's not playing well. I thought after he'd win the Masters and finally achieving the career Grand Slam after about a decade of pursuit that he would play carefree and win more, and it's gone the other way around. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. But, all these guys, they're having problems. Six former U.S. Open champions missed the cut. That tells you all you need to know.
Is this the last U.S. Open for Phil Mickelson in your mind?
Yes. And I was hoping he made the cut. I thought he was moving toward that, and I don't know what happened at the end. So I think so, probably. The exemptions run out, unless somebody gives him an exemption, because he is a Hall of Fame golfer, and he's meant a lot to the game of golf. So that's one way that could happen.
How would that work, somebody granting Mickelson an exemption?
Well, it's they control the rules. Arnold Palmer, you know, guys like that. There are special players out there who people want to see. And I'm sure down the road that would also affect Tiger Woods if he wants to do it. And the question is, do you want to do it?
Bob Pompeiani joining on the Bob Pompeiani Show. All right, Bob, what do you make of Scottie Scheffler? 4 over through the first two rounds. Does he still have a chance to win this thing?
Absolutely he does. Anytime you're within, you know, basically 6-7 shots of the lead with two left, you saw what happened out here. And you say, you know, hey, Austin, this is all you need to know about Oakmont. You know, Patrick Reed plays number four, the par five. He makes an albatross, too, to get in that hole. So he's 3 under on one hole. But on the final hole of his day, he made a triple bogey and gave all three back. So that's how quickly things can change. And if Scottie Scheffler can go out earlier and shoot a 69 or 68, all of a sudden people will take notice and we'll see him move up.
So you think he only needs to shoot 2 under for the day? I mean, I would think that he has to shoot like a 66 or a 67, don't you think?
Well, you're assuming everyone else is going to shoot 69, 68. Now, the conditions may have been softer, so that may change that. But my point is, if you all of a sudden start the day in, you know, 2 under par, and you move from +4 to +2, and you're 3 off the lead or whatever, all of a sudden it's only Saturday. They call it moving day for a reason. You can make up some placements in the leaderboard. And if he does that, and tomorrow is within 3 shots of the lead, I don't care who's in front of him, Scottie Scheffler will be noticed tomorrow.
Is it good for the game and good for the sport that Burns, Spahn, and Hovland are the top three right now and not the likes of McIlroy, DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, more notable names?
Well, that depends on your perspective. I love golf. I follow these guys. To me, Sam Burns is as well known as Bryson DeChambeau. I know all about Sam Burns. I know all about Spahn because I've seen him compete before. You know, he took Rory to all the way to the end of the Players' Championship this year. This is a guy who can play, and they all can play. So it's good in the perspective that you'll get to know more names. But if you're just looking for the big names because you're a casual viewer, then this won't appeal to you.
Well, let's say that, you know, you are a casual golf viewer that just watches, like, the biggest tournaments, the U.S. Open, the Open, the Masters, stuff like that. Do you think that that could affect ratings or affect an interest level? You kind of touched on it a little bit. I mean, I would imagine that that's not going to be the case for the Pittsburgh area because it's in our backyard and people want to consume it and people want to watch it. But from, like, a national perspective, like, is the USGA just a little irritated by what's been going on?
Well, this is comparable to the argument of, do you want to watch the Indiana Pacers take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? It's the same thing. Oh, no, we'd rather have the Lakers and the Celtics, or we'd rather have Steph Curry, big names. I get all of that. But, you know, if you're a real consumer of the sport, you appreciate good and bad shots, and then you should watch for that reason. So I guess I have a different perspective on that. I understand what your point is. And I understand why people wouldn't watch. Are they going to watch the Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers if you don't have a dog in the race? You know, I don't know. Maybe you won't, but you're missing a great series if you decide not to because you're not interested in the names.
Bob, tell me what's going on with Jordan Spieth. So he's 5 over. It seems like he's been trying to recapture the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Magic that he once had as a younger player. He's 47th in the world now. He's been pro for now 13 years. Do you think he's going to win another major in the next couple of years?
Yes, I do. I just think it's such a war of attrition out there in that tour, and so many good players that can be knocking on the door here. My guess is he will, but he's struggling right now. There's no question about that.
What's the big story you're following today?
Well, I just want to see guys like Scheffler and guys who are, you know, I think Adam Scott is a great story. People don't mention him. He's a name that people should recognize. He has played in every single major championship since 2001, and that's 96 in a row. To me, that's a great accomplishment in and of itself. And he's also at even par, and he's lurking, and he has the experience that it would take to understand these conditions. So if I had to bet right now, and you can do these as these betting sites allow you, I would bet on Adam Scott to win.
Bob saying a bet on Adam Scott. What about not Ben Griffin, though, Bob? Ben Griffin is currently tied with him, and Brooks Koepka, he could be putting a very sneaky, sneaky game together today. Who knows? It's just two over as the sun is starting to peer out a little bit from this gloomy day today. I don't think there's going to be any more rain in the forecast, Bob.
Well, I mean, it's hard to walk around out there. You know, there's a lot of mud. Not on the actual course itself. They make sure that's in good shape. But I think the USGA has offered a refund for those who don't want to do it, and they'll give you a full refund and send you a link so you can cash in if you don't want to deal with this. But I still think it's fascinating. Hopefully the sun will come out and stay out, because with this spring, as you know, man, has been just terrible. So much rain, it never ends, it seems.
It seems like it never does end whatsoever. I wanted to ask you a Pirates question and a Steeler question before I let you go, Bob. Bob Pompeiani joining on the Bob Pompeiani Show. So Skeens last night, or I guess yesterday, day
so this
game.
Is like a this is like a limitless wonder what we're doing, or limitless what are we doing here?
The limitless express a little bit, Bob. I guess. I mean, we touched on golf for 10 minutes.
We normally do it during the week. We'll do it now. That's good.
We might as well. So what do you make of Skeens yesterday? 5 innings, no runs allowed again. His ERA is right around 1.7, I think 1.78 right now. But he's still got a losing record, Bob. He's 4-6. Do you think that the baseball writers will hold that against him if he has a losing record at the end of the year in the Cy Young voting? I don't think it should matter. But, I mean, are there going to be people, like, would Ron hold it against Skeens if he had a losing record? We know that Ron is a big stickler for Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah, but I think Ron is also smart enough to look into the numbers. And I think we've come a long way with the understanding of metrics that I don't care what the record says. Right now, he's my Cy Young winner. I think he's the guy from New York. Senga's pretty good,
good
although
guy,
I think he's hurt. Yeah, he's pretty good. I like that first name, Kodai, by the way. That's an unusual name. And
are you
going
to recommend that to one of your children, to name one of the grandchildren Kodai?
Kodai, sure. Why not? Kodai. That's a good name. I mean, he's been good, but he's been hurt. Yeah, I think he's the only guy who has a lower ERA than Skeens. But Skeens, given everything he's dealt with in terms of lack of offense, I mean, he could theoretically have 13 wins by now if you want to, you know, extrapolate this a little bit. But I don't think the record matters. I think the 1.78, the WHIP numbers, the WAR numbers, all those numbers will be in his favor by the end of the year, regardless of what this offense does or doesn't do.
He has 11 quality starts that leads all of baseball. Mitch Keller also right around
Skeens. Keller's next.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you know about the Pirates this year in 2025.
The fact that they pitch very well, but they couldn't hit. If you put a beach ball on a tee sometimes, at times, Bob, whenever Paul Skeens is out there on the mound. Steeler-wise, T.J. Watt not there. Mike Tomlin seems like he is not too concerned. Should they have a reason to be concerned? Because Watt was there at mandatory minicamp in Holden in 2021 when they went over this last time.
I don't think so. I think they're going to eventually get it done. There's a debate to be had, certainly, and we've done it a lot over the past 3 months about whether or not it's in their best interest business-wise to trade T.J. Watt and see what the return would be. I know this. If I'm Omar Khan, I would be listening to anything on anyone just because I think it's good to listen. But no, I don't. I think this will get done. They value him. He values them. This is all part of this little. Now, yeah, is it not the same as last year or in 2021? Yes, he didn't show up for minicamp, which is mandatory. He did the last time and he held in. I suspect he'll show up for training camp and he'll also hold in until this thing gets done, and I do think it will. I don't know if we'll get over the Myles Garrett money, but he seems to be really pursuing that number. And if that's the case, that's a tricky number. You can do it in a different amount of ways. I think Omar Khan, his strength is understanding salary cap more than anything else. I mean, he knows how to wiggle room around some of these numbers, so he can create a situation that would benefit him and them.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Bob, if they ultimately do something like maybe not $40 million, but they guarantee the first 2 years, which has been a key sticking point for them, and only guaranteeing like the first year and really no years longer than that. That was huge in the last negotiation period. Oh, and they just do a huge signing bonus. Maybe they just front the contract, and in the back end of it, maybe they have an out in like the fourth year, or there's just not nearly as many guarantees. So that what the guaranteed money isn't end up being a huge sticking point. That's probably where I think they'd be able to sway him if they offer a decent amount there, and he just says, "All right, all up front, all guaranteed. Why not?"
Yeah, no, I hear that. So. I mean, like I said, that's what he can do. He can manipulate the numbers to make it work for both sides. I still think T.J. Watt is a big part of what they do, and if they're going to do anything this year to win, and they seem to be all in the sense that they believe Aaron Rodgers can get it done, then he's a big part of it. Yes, they have depth there, but those guys behind him are not as good as he is. So I need, if I'm them, T.J. Watt, and they'll figure it out. So that would be my prediction, even though I can listen to all these other thoughts about what he might bring in the trade.
Lastly, Matt Vogt, the Seneca Valley native playing at Oakmont, he ultimately did not make the cut. But did you get a chance to talk to Vogt as he ended up finishing 23 over, shot an 82 and an 81, on just the experience that he had and being able to play the course, the former caddy at Oakmont, and basically what he experienced?
Oh yeah, I mean he's been great, and what a wonderful attitude he has. You know, I mean all throughout this, his attitude has come through, and his platform. He said, "I never thought I'd use the word platform when describing a dentist," but his platform grew because of this experience. And then, you know, he has the gratitude of understanding what it means to be here on a week that's special because his father died a couple of months ago. He being a new dad also on Father's Day week. I mean. He understands it all, and what a great, great person he is. I mean, you heard him when we were on our show during the week.
Yeah.
I mean, just so glad to be here, so appreciative of the opportunity. But he earned it. He went out and earned it. And 82-81 is not bad when you consider how difficult this golf course has been.
And I saw the interview, at least a part of it, from earlier in the week that you did with him, and he said, like, "Bob, this has been, like, surreal, the whole entire experience." Does that, when athletes use your name, Bob, does that feel very personal to you? Do you feel like you have a friendship when the athletes would say your name?
No, I just hope they know that I've gotten to know them over the years, and I'm fair with people, and that's what I try to do. And I've always admired people who work hard to get what they want, and he's done that. And I thought his story was so intriguing. And I remember back in the day, I asked him, "Did you ever caddy for me?" Because, you know, I remember. He goes, "I think I might have." And I said, "Well, I hope we had a good day, because there are all these caddies out there. There's so many, and they're all great." So I think he's going to be terrific. And I asked him if the dentist business is picking up. You know, business is booming in the dentist world. He said probably, but he has a great team, and he's allowed them to do their thing while he can do his thing.
Yes, business is booming with teeth, Bob. Definitely. I don't know if you want business to boom with teeth, right? I mean, if teeth are booming, then they're probably having cavities that are filled.
Right. Right. No, I got it. But for him, it was just a question meant in fun, and he understood what it was. So I think people will know who he is. If you have to select a dentist in Indianapolis, you're going to pick him.
I think that's the right pick. Bob, appreciate the time. Always good to talk to you.
All right, Austin, we'll see you this week. Yeah, have a great rest of the show. I approve.
All right, we'll do. I will see you tomorrow. I will be up there. I'll be roaming around with Crowley. So that'll be fun to be able to experience that.
Well, hopefully the rain will go away altogether.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you, Bob. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See you, Austin.
It's the Bob Pompiani Show, fan weather. brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, cloudy and a few showers. There is a possible thunderstorm with a high of 78 today. But right now, looking outside the windows here at Oakmont Bakery, we're starting to see the sun. It is overcast, but the sun is making it a little bit more like daylight out here when it was really dark and dreary earlier. Tonight, clouds and a spot of showers is potential. Low of 67 today, and tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms and a high of 77. 412-928-9370. You want to take your thoughts on the U.S. Open. We've been very U.S. Open heavy. You can also take your thoughts on the Pirates and the weekend that they've had so far. That started on Thursday, technically, four-game series against the Cubs. We can call that the weekend. We can call it an extended weekend where the Pirates lost that game on Thursday by one run. Then they win a one-run game. They've played a ton of one-run games under Donnie Kelly. And they've come to close to 500, right around that mark as well. They win it yesterday 2-1 with a Isaiah Kiner-Falefa RBI in the 10th inning to be able to win it. And we can also chime in, if you can also chime in if you want, on the Steelers at 412-928-9370. But first, something this week caught my eye that is so significant. I think it might be the most significant story and significant thing that could happen for a team in the city, for this team in particular, in the last 5-plus years. What is it, and what could it mean for the franchise? 412-928-9370, Austin Bexold with you. It's the Bob Pompiani Show, live from Oakmont Bakery. Come down and say hello on the fam. That is indeed the case. It is one of the greatest things that has happened for the Penguins since they left. Honestly, it might be the greatest thing that happens to the Penguins since Berkelemu sold to Fenway Sports Group. Now, this is a little bit surprising. Like, this news came out of left field. How long has this been brewing for? I wonder. I want to know. I want to know how long it's been since Mario has wanted back, because we know that the reputation has been that Fenway Sports Group and Mario Lemieux really just don't see eye to eye. They have not been able to put everything together to the point where this is an equal mesh, because Mario still has a part in the team, but it's not nearly the same. He does not have nearly the same influence. Mario's not around the team. His suite's empty. It's different. The vibe is different. The feel is different. The Penguins have always had a feely, had a family-type feel to them, whether that's the way they operate, the way they go around their business. It's just everything and talking to people. And it's still there, but it's not what it was. And I think Burkle and Lemieux buying the Penguins back would be really good, because I wonder how hands-on Fenway Sports Group truly is with this group. I mean, think about it. They are a huge organization, huge group might be the better word, comparatively speaking to Mario and Burkle day-to-day in on the team, where Fenway Sports has the Red Sox. They have European soccer. They are invested in multiple different ventures before they ended up buying the Penguins. And that has been a big question since they bought the team. How much buy-in is there? How much involvement is there? Now, you don't want too much involvement from your owners. There's no denying that. You don't want James Dolan with the New York Knicks, who seemingly fired Tom Thibodeau with no backup plan, no plan whatsoever, where it's, we'll ask Minnesota if Chris Finch is available. We'll see if Jason Kidd wants to leave Dallas. Yeah, they've struck out on everything. Maybe you have a plan before you ultimately go and do something. I always felt like Burkle and Lemieux, there was a plan. And sure, they hired Ron Hextall, and that was bad. But the turning of the tide with the Penguins was Mario buying the team. The renaissance was Sid, Gino, and Letang. And ever since 21, when they sold, it's been all downhill from here. Now, is that because Fenway Sports trusts Kyle Dubas? Would Mario and Burkle have the same confidence level? I think they'd be willing to move maybe a little bit more quickly. Would things have transpired differently with Mike Sullivan? Possibly. But I'm curious to know what it would look like with Burkle and Mario back. And I think that it would be, because there's been so many good things that have happened for the Penguins, maybe not of this magnitude, like Crosby, the 500 goals, and maybe I'm just completely missing the timeline of when it was, but Crosby milestones, Malkin milestones that have happened you know, honoring Fleury for his retirement that have happened since they've sold the team. But you get Mario back, you get Ron Burkle back, I feel much better about the potential future of the Penguins. Much better about their outlook moving forward. 412-928-9370. Here is Anthony in Oakland to chime in. What's going on, Anthony? How are you doing?
You know, when I look at the Pirates, and I went back and looked at some of their drafts, and I see with the Cubs, you know, they got that all-star, Peter Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, in the outfield.
The Pirates could have had Peter Crow Armstrong. He was picked 19th overall in the 2020 amateur draft. They chose Nick Gonzalez. But that's been their problem overall for 30 years. The lack of bats. And when you to see this great pitching being wasted because you don't have any offense, when you fired the manager, you should have fired the general manager also. I mean, it's just too frustrating to watch this, the wasted night after night. I mean, they're shutting down good teams, but they have a Punch and Judy offense that can't score.
Well, from 2013 on, Anthony, this is the bats that they've drafted. Austin Meadows, okay career. Cole Tucker, out of the league. Kevin Newman, still hanging on. Will Craig, out of baseball. Travis Swaggerty, minor league baseball. Then Nick Gonzalez, who I think is going to be a good player. Henry Davis, who we still need to find out about. Termar Johnson, who hasn't debuted yet. And Connor Griffin, who looks like a star, but he's an A-ball. I mean, like, that's why, because the last 10 years of drafts, when they've drafted bats, have not nearly done anything to stick around.
Yeah, and you'll see what happens. When they get rid of Zawinski, he'll go off to another organization and become the hitter that the Pirates could have had. That's another thing we leave out. When guys leave here, they become better with other organizations,
yeah,
with development.
I don't know if I'm convinced of that, though, Anthony, with him in particular. Like, Meadows left and had a really good, 30-homer season with the Rays. Outside of that, though, Tucker was done. Newman was done. Craig didn't do anything. Swaggerty, there were some unfortunate things that happened there, too. But I think it's just partly their drafting and development isn't good enough.
Yeah, well, I'm not even just talking about that crew. They drafted that crew. I'm talking about prior to them. I mean, there were some great hitters that left this town, which is frustrating for a person like me who's been following this team since the 1960s. Yeah. I was a young boy when they had nothing but hitters. I mean, the lumber company, they didn't get that name because they're Punchy Judy types. I mean, that they had the pipeline to the Dominican. This is just frustrating to watch this organization and to see night after night how they seem to do a great job with the pitching. I mean, they've taken pitchers from other organizations, and these guys have gotten better here. But they've got to get the bats. And it's just so frustrating because I love baseball, but I love football more. But baseball, it's just frustrating to watch this motley crew of hitters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar boat with you, Anthony, and I appreciate the call. Always good talking to you. I mean, I love watching baseball during the summer. Like, I'll watch baseball when it's 30 degrees in April. There'll be times when I'll put old 2013, 14, 15 Pirates highlights on in the middle of December just because I miss baseball. Like, I am a baseball nerd. I am a baseball fanatic when it comes to just consuming the game, watching the game. The early portion of this season made me, at times, not want to watch them because I knew what the outcome was going to be. And that was awful. A change needed to be made. But they could have done something about it even earlier in the year. But now they're playing better baseball, and it's not going to change everything and put them in a playoff spot this year. And the damage has already been done. But it is good to see them playing better baseball under Donnie Kelly. I just don't think that means he should be automatically the guy right now to be the one to steer the boat moving forward. We still have a lot more baseball to play before I think that should be determined. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 20 minutes away from Jeff Hathorn joining us. Let's get into the Steelers a little bit, and we'll continue to take your calls at 412-928-9370. Mandatory minicamp is done. Two stars are the story. One that was there, one that was not. What do we make of Aaron Rodgers, his first week with the Steelers? The list is starting to pile up of people that are in favor of Aaron Rodgers being on the Steelers. Ooh, are you in favor or are you not? Because at this point, you don't really have a choice. But you can still make your voice heard on whether you're happy Rodgers is here or not at 412-928-9370. Austin Bechtold in on the Bob Pompeiani Show from Oakmont Bakery. Come down and say hello on the fan. That's right. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show live from Oakmont Bakery. We're taking you up until 1 o'clock on the North Shore Tavern Leadoff Show with Dan Zangrilli. We'll take you leading into Pirates with Paul Alexander, I should say, on 93.7 The Fan right here as we will lead you into Pirates and Cubs. Game 3 of the 4-game series at Wrigley Field as Mike Burrows will go to the mound for the Pirates. Matthew Boyd will pitch for the Chicago Cubs. 412-928-9370. If you would like to chime in, we're going to talk to Jeff Hathorn in 10 minutes. But first, Crowley put out a list that made me think, okay, Crowley, why didn't you put me on the list? Why wasn't I near the top of this list? It's the list of people who are Aaron Rodgers believers list. Included on the list is Crowley, Doran, Pat Bostic, Sean McVay, Ben Roethlisberger. Ben thought, he said on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, that this is a 10 or 11 win team with Aaron, and they are a 6 or 7 win team without Aaron at quarterback. And I agree with him. I'm close to in lockstep with Ben on that. I think they're a 10-win team with Aaron. I think they're 10-7 this year. Will sneak into the playoffs as the 7th seed and ultimately probably lose in the first round of the playoffs again. How much fun is that? Well, you're going to trade up for a quarterback and we'll see how great it is. But Ben, also in agreement, Aaron makes a difference of about 3 or 4 games. Dan Marino, also a believer. We had him on Pomp and Joe a couple weeks ago. Marino thinks that Rodgers can still sling it. Lewis Riddick is a believer. Pitt's very own that Aaron Rodgers can still play. Same thing with Kay Adams of FanDuel. Chris Sims, NBC Sports, thinks he can still play. Mike Greenberg as well. How about Dave Damashek saying that the floor is 10 wins if Broderick Jones plays anywhere close to his pedigree? The floor, 10 wins. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette also thinks that Rodgers is worth it and can still play. Here's my thing on Rodgers. Like, yes, he's not very mobile anymore. He's also not a statue. Like, he can move around a little bit. I'm just not that interested in seeing a full year of Mason Rudolph this year. I'm just not. I think that we know what Mason Rudolph would be in a 17-game season. I think they'd be 6 or 7 wins in, and you know they would get a higher draft pick. Yes, double-edged sword. Like, I understand the argument. But what are you going for here? Do you want a high draft pick to draft a quarterback? Ultimately, they're probably going to end up trading up. They have picks, and if they need to trade a pick in 27 to be able to, a first-round pick in 27 even, to be able to go get your quarterback if you really like the guy in 26, I think ultimately you do it. Your first-round pick in 26, maybe another pick in 27, maybe a second-round pick is thrown in there, maybe a second-round pick in the 26th draft too. They have other picks. And just because, you know, they have, what, 3/3, 2/4, 2/5, you're obviously not going to be able to use those picks to be able to trade up. You could use 1 or 2, maybe. But teams are going to want, if you're trading up in the first round, a first or a second, most especially. But, I mean, those picks can also help you fill out your draft. Just because you have those picks, and we're talking about trades, everybody's like, oh, well, you can't deal this, you can't deal that. Nobody's going to take a third-round pick. Those 3/3, you could probably trade one. The other 2 third-round picks, you can get starters in the third round. For, let's say, you trade that second-round pick. Well, you have those extra picks where you can still pick somebody where you feel confident enough that they can contribute and factor into the team that year. So I'm excited for Rodgers. I am looking forward to, and yeah, like, I'll admit, part of it is I grew up with Aaron Rodgers. Throwing off his back foot, emulating him in the driveway and in the grass was fun. Like, if you're watching sports and there's a quarterback that you look to and you're like throwing off his back foot, just chucking it up there in the air, throwing Hail Marys that were successful. Aaron Rodgers, fun quarterback to watch. And he's not the player that he once was. He's not. But I still think he has enough left in the tank to be able to take them potentially to a playoff spot and a solid year this year, especially with what the team has at its disposal with DK Metcalf, 2 running backs that I think are pretty solid. I mean, they need to add another receiver. I will be more confident in a 10-win prediction if they have another receiver. But ultimately, I think it's going to happen. And Matt Hasselbeck also thinks that Rodgers is going to have a successful year.
I do believe Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is a really good fit. Mike Tomlin is well-respected by veteran NFL quarterbacks, who he was as a defensive coach, who he is as a leader. Arthur Smith was on staff and replaced Matt LaFleur in Tennessee when he got his first opportunity. The thing for a veteran quarterback, you don't want to go in and like learn some foreign language. He's not going to have to do that with Arthur Smith. This is a good fit. Aaron Rodgers has the weapons, the quirkiness, as you say. Pittsburgh is the kind of organization that can handle it. I think they're going to thrive from it. Look out for this team. Look out for this offense.
And that was on the Herd with Colin Cowherd. So, again, add Matt Hasselbeck to that list of Aaron Rodgers believers. 412-928-9370 if you would like to chime in. Fan text line is brought to you by Egger Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's talk to Jeff Hathorn next. Live from the media tent at Oakmont. What's going on? Third round from Oakmont. How much are the conditions playing a factor? Austin Bechtold in for Bob Pompeiani. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on the Fan. Bob Pompeiani Show. Austin Bechtold in for Bob on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We heard from Bob just about an hour ago. We're here at Oakmont Bakery here until 1 o'clock, and we send it over to the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Paul Alexander, getting you ready for Pirates and Cubs at Wrigley Field. And right now, it's the Hawk Report with Jeff Hathorn at Oakmont. He is in the media center at Oakmont Country Club as the third round is underway, Jeff. And so far, so good with the weather, but it does seem like there are some dark clouds that are approaching. How has the conditions on the course affected the greens so far today?
Greens are still pretty quick. I mean, they've got some insane drainage here. And imagine that they could afford to have some really good drainage at Oakmont Country Club. I'm watching a shot from Sungjae Im today that hit about pin high, and the pin was in the back. He spun it back. I think it's still rolling all the way back to near where he hit it from. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's not as fast, and it's easier to hold, and you can have that type of action. You can have that type of spin. You just have to know how to control it. And that's going to be key for these guys because they basically played the course one way for two rounds, and now it's different in many ways.
Hideki Matsuyama is through 11 holes, Jeff. He is 7 over for the day. Does this just get to the point
not
where...
Not good.
No, not at all. Does this just get to the point where sometimes if you get down a couple of strokes early on and you start to feel like, all right, I know I'm not going to be able to get up to the top five or be able to, you know, finish high on the leaderboard, even have a chance going into the final day and even the final nine to be able to have a chance at this thing where it could just spiral on you. Like, is that where Matsuyama is now?
Oh. Or you get to the point where it's like, I was going to play it this way, but I'm just going to go for it. And a lot of times when you go for it out here, the numbers get even bigger. So I think that probably happens. Listen, there was I won't mention the name, but there was a prominent golfer that was right on the cut line yesterday and had about a 2-footer on 8, maybe 3-footer on 18, and he missed it low side, had no chance to go in. And you just wonder in his mind, he probably knew where the cut line was and was probably thinking, do I want to be here being the first to tee off with no chance to win and get my tail kicked by this golf course for two more days, or do I fly to Florida or wherever I live and enjoy some downtime? So that is something. I'm not saying with all golfers, but if you're someone that's established, I'm sure that this is just painful to have to kind of play out the string at a course like this. And that being said, I admire Rory. He looked like he had just kind of, he was 8 over and just kind of given up, and he fought back to make the cut, and he's here this weekend, and a lot of people wanted to see him play, so I give him some credit for keeping in it.
What are your expectations for Rory? Like, does he still have a legitimate chance to be able to go into Sunday with a shot? We'll put it that way.
No. No. I don't believe so. But could he find something in his game that could help him going forward? I mean, that's another thing these guys could play. Okay, challenge yourself that if I put together, I'm out of it, but I put together two good rounds or I find something in my swing, maybe that is worth being here and worth that experience. And by the way, Limits, I mean, there are a couple of guys. You wonder, okay, Scotty starts the day plus 4.
Yeah.
The leader is minus 3. But we've seen Mark Leishman and Corey Connors are each on the course through 6 holes, and each are 3 under for the day. If those
Shoffley's
two
2
guys,
under for the day, too.
Yeah, if those two guys can put together numbers like that, what could the world number one do if he's figuring this out? That's what has me intrigued about today. And Leishman and Connors started plus 6. They're each, as I mentioned, 3 under for the day. They're now in the top 12.
Yeah. There was talk, Jeff, that, you know, the the early group that was playing would maybe have a more favorable time on the course than the late than the latter group later on that will tee off and just about we'll say an hour or so, or especially when Spahn and Burns tee off at 3:35. Do you think that that is indeed going to be the case?
I do, because it's going to dry out. And I think as much as the greens will be receptive, the fairways will be receptive. That will be key. I mean, how many guys bounced a drive in the fairway that ended up in the rough and ended up deep to where it wasn't being able to, you know, you just couldn't play it? Well, now you could hit it in the fairway. It's going to hold. You're not going to get the run out. You're not going to get as much yardage. But for these guys, with as far as they hit it, I don't know that they necessarily need all of that yardage. Yeah, I do think it's going to be better now, and as it every hour it starts to dry out, it will get a little bit tougher.
We talked about Scheffler a little bit, but what do you think, Jeff, like, has to be the mark for him? What does he need to do today to be in the best position moving forward, even in just an okay position going into tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm thinking 66, 67 he's got to shoot today, which is
I agree. Bob
it's par 70.
Bob thinks he only has to shoot, like, 68, 69. I think if he shoots a 66, he's in a great spot.
I think if he shoots a 66 and gets back to even par, that's going to be right in this mix. And, I mean, Burns and Spahn are two unique players. They've been in tough situations. Burns was in a playoff last week, a four-hole playoff at the Canadian Open. Spahn has been in tough situations, but if Scotty makes a charge, you're going to feel it on the course. Like, how are these guys going to react? That's really what I want to see. How do those guys handle it when the crowds – because you think it's quiet here,
yeah,
but when the galleries are moving, like, there can be some distractions not very far off of earshot for where these guys are trying to hit.
Out of the group of Burns, Spahn, and Hovland, who would you put your money on right now, and how far off is Koepka from joining that list?
So I was going to pick Hovland until Pony said, mark this tweet, Hovland's going to win.
I bookmarked it, Jeff, just like he said to.
So now I'm going to go with Sam Burns, not because he's leading, but because he's a great putter. He's really good friends with Scheffler. He has found some things in his game. So I think because of his ability to putt, to roll the ball, that gives me thought that Burns is going to win this thing. Ben Griffin is a great story too, but Burns would be the guy for me.
Obviously, you can win it on 17. You can win it on 18. But if there's a hole that you can either lose or win on the entire tournament in these last 2 days, what hole do you think that is?
I mean, 17 is a great call because it's a risk reward. Two is a sneaky hole because it's another risk reward. I mean, yesterday Koepka tried to play it safe and ended up hitting it in the rough and bogeying. But I mean, three is very attainable on two. And six is very much in play if you hit it into that rough. So it's way early in the day, but two is a hole that I watch and think, okay, this is one that can turn it. Another one is 12, because if you can knock it on in two and you could find a way to eagle 12, you might be able to get a little bit of a separation, because that would be an amazing score. But it's doable if you hit two great shots.
There was a hole-in-one yesterday, Jeff, that I heard the crowd reaction from. I was standing right by the hole. I was standing on five when there was ultimately the hole-in-one shot. What did you make of that? And isn't it very rare to see a hole-in-one at the Open?
Only the second time it's happened here at Oakmont ever in U.S. Open competition.
Wow.
It is indeed rare. And here's the deal. Victor Perez, who hit it, he wasn't just some rando that hit it. He's in sixth place to start the day.
How about that?
And it's his second hole-in-one this month.
Really?
I mean, we're 14 days into June. It's the second time he's had a hole-in-one this month. And how about this on his scorecard? He had an 8 earlier. So on his scorecard, he's writing like 5-4-8, 3-4-1. I mean, what a unique scorecard to have. You know, you and I could go out there and we could have 7 and 8s and all kinds of.
I put up like a 10, 12.
Right. I mean, we could have legitimately, we could go out and you can hope that maybe you'd have like a 7-2-4. He could have had a 4-1-2 on his scorecard.
Well, a 4-1-2 would have been pretty ideal for the area.
Exactly.
Main takeaways, Jeff, before we let you go, on what you are keeping an eye on for today and what the main takeaway has been so far throughout the entirety of the tournament.
Yeah, I'm watching this early scoring just to see. I mean, they're this, what, now 5 under par so far, and I want to see what Scotty's start is. He goes in about 25 minutes. He starts, like, can he get a couple of early birdies? Can he start putting it together and not just birdies, but are we seeing that swing back to the Scotty we're used to, not the frustrated Scotty that's been pulling it left into the rough? He's spent a ton. He spent about 45 minutes nearly by himself yesterday after his round with his swing coach working on things. If he figured something out, let's see what those first couple of holes are like. That to me is something I'm really keeping an eye on.
Jeff, really appreciate the time and talking to you throughout the entirety of the week. Great coverage as always. What is up on the website that people could check out?
Yeah, there's a cool story about what Jack Nicklaus and Johnny Miller, they had a news conference here, what they said about Arnold Palmer's impact, plus their talk about their wins here at Oakmont previously. It's a cool listen. The entire thing is up on the website right now, along with some of the highlights of what both of them said about Arnie.
You can see it at 937thefan.com and read it there. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Austin.
We will hear from Jeff Moore throughout the entirety of the day. You can listen to Jeff on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, as well as he will be joining Michael Bartley, who's coming up here on KDKA at Oakmont Bakery. And up next, the man that is not here in Pittsburgh. Where is he? Well, he's probably back at home, but not with the Steelers. T.J. Watt, does this frustrate you? Because it's different. The circumstances are a little bit different now. Watt is older. We're talking 31. We're talking not showing up to mandatory minicamp where he was a hold in the last time. This time, not even there. Mike Tomlin says no big deal. Do you think it's a big deal at 412-928-9370? We will also get into some Oakmont predictions, and the Pirates will preview the game in Chicago against the Cubs today on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Oakmont Bakery has completely set us up with lunch. Oh my gosh. I had this bacon, egg and cheese sandwich. Our guy Seth Davis is over here devouring the same sandwich that I had. Also a hash brown. Brentero's got a salad. What's that, Brentero? A chicken salad. Oh, it's a steak salad. Incredible. Michael Bartley's about to do the AM side. Michael's got a, is that a BLT, Michael? Michael's not listening. Well, it still looks good anyway. This breakfast sandwich that I had, I'm not kidding when I say it's one of the best breakfast sandwiches I've ever had. And I know it's lunch. It's 12:50. But the recommendation that was made to me for this bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, so, so good. So come on down here to Oakmont Bakery. Stop in if you're still going to the open, or if you are leaving the open at some point, stop down at Oakmont Bakery. Or if you just want to stop down and have a good Saturday treat, you should. Here at Oakmont Bakery, as we send it over to Paul Alexander in the North Shore Tavern Leadoff Show in a matter of 10 minutes. 412-928-9370. Still some time if you would like to chime in on the conversation, as what a game it was last night in the NBA Finals. I really thought that the Indiana Pacers were going to be able to hold on to that game and take a commanding 3-1 series victory, 3-1 series lead. T.J. McConnell has been a lightning rod for Indiana. He's been, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. Sure, he's not like a big-time scorer. When you talk about underrated players, like there's kind of levels of context to that. Like there's stars and then there's role players. I think McConnell is a very underrated role player. 17 minutes off the bench. He scored 8 points, also had 2 assists. He was the first player off the bench in finals history to be able to put up the stat line that he did in game 3. I mean, came off the bench, 10 points, 5 assists, 5 steals for McConnell in that game. Obi Toppin had 17 off the bench for Indiana as well. Halliburton in double figures. 5 players were in double figures for Indiana, but they ultimately fell short against OKC as the Thunder outscored Indiana 31-17 in the fourth quarter. And typically, it's the Pacers that are very good in clutch time. Like, OKC was 3 of 16 from 3. They missed 4 free throws, but Indiana missed 8 free throws. They shot 76% from the floor, and they lost it by 7. Those are the little things that matter in series like this, that matter in the finals, that matter at the very end of games. And Benedict Mathurin missed multiple free throws for Indiana. He had a good game. But late in it, ended up costing his team with an opportunity to be able to win it, go to OKC up 3-1. And if that's the case and you lose that game, fine. You go back home with a chance to win the finals at home, your own venue in Indiana. Now it's 2-2 in the series. I would imagine is ultimately, at least likely, probably going to go to 7 games. What's going to go to 7 games is Florida and Edmonton. This is the first time since 2015 that the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals are tied at 2 games apiece after 4 games. 8 o'clock tonight, Florida and Edmonton will drop the puck as the Oilers, another dramatic game in the finals. This has been an incredible Stanley Cup Finals. There have been 3 overtime games out of the 4. 3. And the other game was a blowout by Florida, 6-1 on Monday. Edmonton won Game 1, 4-3 at home against the Panthers in overtime. They lost Game 2, 5-4 in overtime on the Marchand goal. And then in Game 4, backs up against the wall. You don't want to go down 3-1. Edmonton wins it in overtime again, 5-4, as they get a game-winning goal from Leon Draisaitl. His 11th for Draisaitl, as he's been just absolutely tearing it up. It's him and McDavid basically against everybody else. When it comes down to, I mean, Edmonton's key scoring. They've had other guys factor in, but they're going to go as far as McDavid and Draisaitl takes them. It's pretty much as simple as that. I like Florida in Game 5. I still think that I originally thought Edmonton in 6. Now I'm still thinking Edmonton in 7. I hope Florida wins, but I think McDavid is just going to ultimately get over the hump. And seeing what happened in overtime in Florida and Edmonton being able to prevail, that's a huge moment for a team, and I think they're going to be able to ride that momentum to eventually be able to win the series. Here is Jerry in Aliquippa, wants to chime in on TJ Watt. What's going on, Jerry?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Doing pretty well.
Man, I'm just I'm kind of upset about the whole holdout thing. From my understanding, he's still technically under contract.
Yes.
Am I correct on that part?
Yes, you are.
He's one heck of a player, but I mean, can't nobody deny, like, this last year was a pretty big decline for him. And then the fact that, you know, he very rarely shows up in playoff games. Like, I have nothing but love for the guy. He's, like, generationally talented. But it's just, I don't know. I don't see the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers should give him up another contract. Nothing like Myles Garrett or anything like that. I don't like Myles Garrett. I think Myles Garrett's a good player. But the Browns are always just throwing money away wherever they can throw money away.
Would you trade TJ Watt then in this occurrence?
I hate to see it happen, but for the better good of the team, futuristically, if you're looking at it, yeah, I would. I hate to see him go, but at this point, he's like more like a disgruntled employee. Like, he's trying to just keep up with the Myles Garrett's of the world and stuff like that. And we can't operate a team like the Browns, you know?
He was going to get a contract, Jerry, and I appreciate the call. Like, this is the same point where they were in a couple of years ago where he was ultimately going to make a deal. Now, I do think, is disgruntled employee the best way to put it? I don't know. I think that's maybe a step a little bit further than what it is. Watt wants to be paid what he's valued, and you know, based on what the market is, and the Browns screwing it up based on the Myles Garrett contract, he thinks that means $40 million. In reality, he's probably a $35 million a year, $35, $36, $37 million a year guy. I was stunned to see Colin Cowherd say that on the herd that he's going to get $40 to $47. I don't think that is going to be nearly close to what Watt ultimately gets. I want Watt to be there. Like, I'm okay with him not participating in mandatory minicamp, but I want him to be there. Like, I'm okay if he just sits on the sidelines and is just a good employee and is just kind of hanging out there. And, you know, I think it's different than Shamar Stewart, where that seems like a contract feud and a war with the Cincinnati Bengals. And Hendrickson also not there. It seems like there's a little bit more tension there, but tension is starting to build with Watt and the Steelers. I mean, the peace sign he posts on Instagram, not being at mandatory minicamp, J.J. Watt openly saying the Steelers should have got this deal done earlier. There are signs that this thing is trending in a bad direction. Is it bleak? Yeah. I don't think that the chances that they get a deal done are bleak, but are the optics bleak right now? Yes. Is it turned into like a real disaster for them? Like a PR nightmare? No. It's somewhere, maybe not in the middle, but I think it's closer to the side of, look, you want T.J. Watt to be there. It's a story. It's obviously a story. It's going to be a story until pen is put to paper. But we all know that T.J. Watt is going to play this year. Like, I would be very surprised if he, like, holds out and doesn't play at all if he doesn't get the money that he wants. He came back and ultimately ended up, his agents thought he could have gotten more in the last deal. And he said, no, I'm just going to sign the contract. I'm going to come back. Is this a different T.J. Watt that we will see? That is a great question, because the older he gets, and this is his last big money deal. Like, this is the last contract. J.J. Watt was not too deep into his 30s when he ultimately retired, and he also was banged up with injuries. T.J. Watt was a ghost late in the year last year. He was invisible. He was Casper, your friendly ghost, in the last four games, not recording a stat. What did he record, like one? That's it. Like, T.J. Watt was the runaway defensive player of the year. Let's not forget about that. Still a really good player. T.J. Watt can still play, and he's going to be able to play for another 2-3 years. I think that fourth year is really the sticking point, probably, and how much money do the Steelers want to guarantee or give to him, because, I mean, that fourth year, he's 34, approaching 35. What type of player are we talking about? Edge rushers, how they age okay, but do they age gracefully? It depends on the body type, but, I mean, if you look at J.J. Watt, obviously they're not the same player, and that's one thing that was a gripe against TJ when he was drafted. Like, oh, well, you know, you're just drafting genes. He doesn't have the same, maybe he's not the same player that JJ was. Well, I mean, you could factor in how much wear and tear is on the body and genetics in that regard. And I wonder, because JJ Watt did not play nearly as long. Like the Mannings, I think the Mannings played a fair amount of time around the same ages. Could the Watts end up being the same case? Pirates and Cubs from Wrigley. Mike Burrows on the mound for the Buccos. Matthew Boyd will start for Chicago. O'Neill Cruz will lead it off for the Pirates, with McCutcheon at DH batting second. Reynolds, Gonzalez, and Hayes in the middle of the order. Ke'Bryan Hayes batting fifth. What? I would not do that at all, but when you consider who's later on in the lineup, it makes some sense, because Henry Davis is going to catch, and he's been struggling the last couple of games. He'll catch in bat sixth. Jared Triolo will bat seventh and play at first base. Tommy Pham's in the lineup in left. Triolo, Pham, and Hayes in the same lineup with IKF. At that point, I would just move IKF from the 9 spot. So Isaiah Kiner-Falefa will bet 9th. Thanks to Bob Pompiani for joining the Bob Pompiani Show. Thanks to Kevin Gorman. And thanks as well to Jeff Hathorn for stopping by. U.S. Open continues from Oakmont. That wrapped it up for us from Oakmont Bakery. Thanks to everyone that stopped down and said hello. Come down and say hello here at Oakmont Bakery and stock up on some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.